It's Wednesday, July 11th, and we're back after the 4th of July. The Milwaukee Brewers have been playing some pretty good baseball as we head toward the All-Star break. We'll see what they decide to do as the trade deadline nears. Could Manny Machado be on his way to Milwaukee? To basketball, the Bucks made a couple of moves. Ersan Ilyasova, Brook Lopez. But what's up with Jabari Parker? And why does everyone talk about how good sports used to be? We'll discuss that and more coming up on Tap in the Keg podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Mitch Ross MKE, and that's NoTapWI. So without further ado, here's your host, Charlie Trichler.
Welcome back to the Russian Tap in the Keg podcast episode 294. Charlie here, Mitch on
just
the
one. Another level of being fired up here tonight.
I don't know. Just feeling good, man. Feeling
we're back
great.
In the got a real some real digs here instead of doing a little three way on a you know
exactly.
in a cave.
Exactly. Three.
So
yeah, we were just shooting the shit, a little hungover all of us, and then Murph just in the middle of it. You're kinda going on a bender right now, or I forget if it was you or Murph, but yeah, that was
it wasn't me. Young Nolan.
Young, yep. Yeah, appreciate Murph.
Very observant.
Hanging out for Snow Tap Summer Jam. Go back and listen to that if you haven't. Before we get going, Mitch, how you doing, bud?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Just had my birthday.
You bet. It was. Big 2-9. How you feeling?
Oh, that's not true.
What?
I'm just kidding. Yes, I am 29.
Well, hey. What? I'm going to be 30. I'm sure I'll talk about it for like fucking 3 weeks on this podcast.
Well, a guy I came across cross paths with over the weekend said that when he turned 29, he just started telling people he was 30. That way it's a little bit of an easier transition. And it's like, that's not a bad idea, but I'm probably going to wait 6 months to do that.
Yeah, first of all, if you're that much of an egomaniac that you can't like come to terms, like look, I hate getting old. Like I was worse about it when I was younger, I think. Now I've sort of just accepted that I'm a little bit of an old man at times. I think if you have that much of a problem with like turning 30 or getting older, like just deal with it, you know? I think maybe if he's referring to like the women and you want
to
look a little,
him literally here either. I mean,
no, I know. I just won't break it down.
Okay.
So if you're talking about women, I don't know. For a woman, do you sound more age appropriate at 29 or 30, or does it depend on the woman? Now, as you know, I have a girlfriend, so this is not important to me. But for a single man like yourself, what makes you sound better?
I don't know. I don't care.
I honestly don't.
And I don't really care that I am 29 going on 30 at this point. You know, it is what it is.
Oh, absolutely. It's age is just a number.
Right.
Now, granted, if you're dating like a 20-year-old, I may say, yeah, you might want to level up or two, per se.
Couple
at
extra
least
aches
get a drinking age, please.
Yeah, well, yeah, of course. A couple extra aches and pains here and there, you know, too.
Oh yeah,
that were pretty noticeable on Sunday.
Well, yeah, I mean, here's the thing.
I mean, dude, last week was a blur, which you know, part of the reason why we didn't podcast last week in here, and you know, it was 3 weekends in 1 week, which is just bananas.
Yeah, it was crazy. Definitely a wild sort of kind of way. I think we just learned a lesson that we need 4th of July either at the start of the week or the end of the week. The middle of the week does us no good.
Middle of the week's kind of sweet, though.
It is, but not sweet for like my liver or a random Monday night where you get hammered drunk.
Yeah.
And now, granted, I completely could have controlled that, and I just stayed out drinking. So here nor there. And mm-hmm. I took an extra day off, so here nor there. So, you know, whatever. But all that said, we are excited to talk to you guys today. We'll get into it here shortly. SnowTapWI is where you can find us. It is a website. It's your alternative source for sports. SnowTapWI, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can follow Mitch at Mitch Ross MKE on the Instagram. Oh, on the Twitter, excuse me. But
well, yes, Instagram, but I probably won't accept you.
Are you private on Instagram?
Yeah.
Oh, so
gotta
yes.
Be.
Yes.
Who isn't? I mean, most people are.
I'm not.
Really?
I don't care.
There's so many bots that follow you, and it's just, I can't do it.
I hear you. Yes, I don't know.
It gets annoying when your phone lights up and it's, you know.
Oh, I got a new follower.
I can't even say the name without getting fired or something,
right, exactly.
Probably, of the name of the follower.
Hot girl for you, 80, 69, 69.
Yeah, that would be on the more appropriate end.
Yeah. Yeah, nothing like, oh man, you're tempting me. You're tempting me. Later in the podcast, maybe. So we do need a secret word, but we'll get that. We'll get that in a second. But yes, we, SnowtapWI, it is a website. You can find us there. Alternative source for sports. We also subscribe on iTunes, subscribe on Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher. We do need a secret word. Like I said, if you had listened a couple weeks ago, I'll tee this up in case you haven't. We'll have a secret word of the day.
We did have a winner.
We did have a winner, Max Miller. Max, I gotta get you your t-shirt, dude. You just heard us talk about three weekends in a week. I promise it will not be this unreliable. It's been a crazy couple weeks of work. You're going to get your shirt mailed out to you tomorrow. That's a promise. That is a stone cold piped lock that Max will have his shirt. So that said, Mitch, what is our secret word today?
Oh, boy. Well, let's call it. Jeez, I hadn't even thought about this.
I should have told you in the car. That's on me.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to think of something for our first topic, but maybe we don't want to do that.
No, why don't we do Jesus? So
there you go.
It is not Jesus. It is Jesus.
Yes.
So be aware of that. Just a quick moniker, just to let you know. All right. Now let's get going. So Mitch brought something interesting the other day. Just kind of like,
well,
go ahead.
I mean, there's been some discussion, I feel like locally, about the last maybe week or two. I know I did it on one of my on-deck shows a little bit.
Yeah.
Talked about how baseball is kind of suffering in popularity. Mm-hmm. And so that's been kind of, I feel like, in the crosshairs a little bit of some, you know, sports talk people and stuff in the area. And, you know, so you get these callers that, of course, are, you know, a lot of times a topic about why is baseball not popular is naturally going to draw, you know, a 50-year-old guy or a 70-year-old guy who, much like me, I grew up playing baseball, mm-hmm. but I don't think people 5 years younger than me, 10 years younger than me played baseball very much.
No. I mean, I got.
And so I think that's a lot of why baseball is possibly hurting. And the game is boring to watch.
Mm-hmm.
It just is.
Right.
I like baseball as much or more as the next guy, but it's just boring to watch.
Right.
I don't watch every Brewer game.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sit here and lie to you people. I don't watch every Brewer game, but I do follow. I follow on Twitter. I get every score update. But I don't watch every inning of every game. And it's just, it's tough to kind of be a grown man and watch every baseball game. You know?
Right.
I could have when I was 15.
Right.
You know, or in 2008, 2007, when I was in high school and stuff,
yeah.
when the Brewers were on the come.
I mean, if we were to watch every game that we cover, whether it's writing or podcasting or things like that, we'd like have no life. Mm-hmm. We'd have nothing. You know, we'd have to tape this podcast at
10 midnight.
O'clock, 9 o'clock. There'd be nights where we'd have to tape this at like 1 o'clock, you know? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you can get the gist, the way social media is, the way you have like a Facebook Watch where...
Facebook Watch has been huge.
It's an awesome thing where you can watch basically like...
Just because like I want more than just the highlights.
Right.
But I don't want a condensed game where it takes an hour to watch.
Right.
I want it's a good where they just show you kind of each inning.
Right.
And they might even skip a couple.
Yes.
Where nothing happens or something.
Right.
But if
there's
an error or a kind of a play that leads to a big play,
right.
You'll get that.
Yeah.
And it's great.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's a great way to follow it in a condensed format and in a 2 minute format.
100%. And so,
for those of us that don't have MLB Network anymore.
Right. Much T's and P's to you.
Yeah.
But anyways.
I guess this isn't really even our topic.
No, it isn't, but it goes into the fact that a lot of people just do not, I think, want, you know, they just think
people
that.
People just never appreciate like what you have
right.
in sports.
And
I'm guilty of that too, probably.
Absolutely. I think we all love nostalgia far too much.
Right.
We have an addiction to nostalgia. This is really where we're getting at, is the nostalgia addiction has only grown, and we've seen it in popular culture throughout time. It really isn't in music, but it's more so in certain artists, like the Backstreet Boys or NSYNC.
Oh, it's really bad. Like, if you go to bars, I mean, you'll hear, at certain bars are different, but you'll hear you hear so much like 90s music.
Right.
And I went to see Third Eye Blind since the last time we podcasted, I think.
Right. Yeah. We talked
about it.
There
were a lot of kids that were probably, you know, granted that's kind of the nature of Summerfest.
Right.
But there were a lot of kids that were in, you know, standing there on top of bleachers singing along. Kids that were probably 18, you know? And it's like, I think 90s has become like a vintage era now at this point too for like teenagers and stuff. So like, but for me, it's like, God, I remember when this song was, you know, on TV.
Yeah.
So, but it like, so I think some of the 90s has just been, it's a great decade and it's, but you know, it even goes beyond that too, where, you know, you get people talking about like 70s and 80s athletes and it's like, oh, you know, these guys weren't making much money back then. I mean, they made good money. They made a livable wage, but they weren't making $15 million a year or whatever. And there's really nothing you or I can do about it or the athlete.
Right.
It's the nature of the business.
No, absolutely.
Guys are trying to get fair compensation. And guess what? The owners are getting rich at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Players are rich. Owners are wealthy. That's the saying.
No question about it.
People, again, seem to relate to the owners more.
And
in a way, I understand because the owners represent the franchise and players come and go.
Right.
People will, you know, kind of cling to the franchise more.
Yeah.
So I get that. But in a way, it's like you have to kind of separate it. You can't think of the money.
Sure. That's fair. But I don't think it's an, let's not like bang on the owners. Cause I don't think that's what this discussion is about. Mm-mm. The discussion really is about.
No, but when I hear people say like, these guys make too much money, it's like, well, you have to get over it.
Well, that's just inflate. I mean, that's just economics.
Right.
Like, we don't have to have that conversation. I think the
simple physics.
The fact of the matter is that everybody, you make more money. That's just how it is. Mm-hmm. People thought they made too much money in the 90s.
Yeah.
That guys don't get paid like they do in the 70s. And that goes back to that we are just whores for our memories. Like, that is all we are. We just love having the memory. Do you remember this? Do you remember that moment? Do you remember this? Like, it is.
Is there a term I'm thinking of here too? Like revisionist history?
Yeah.
Where it's
the
90s like NBA that fucking great?
Think about like, we're talking about baseball. Think about the Brewer fan, right? Last year, nobody could buy in. Why? Because they all thought we were going to get caught by the fucking Cubs. Granted, it happened, but it was never going to be like 2011. Now you bring in guys like Christian Yelich, you bring in guys like Lorenzo Cain. It feels a little more like 2011 than it does 2014 or 2017. It feels different. It has a different vibe.
And this could be a segue, but I mean,
if you get a guy like Manny Machado, it's 2008. So,
yeah,
pretty much. But will people compare it to 2008? And they shouldn't, because
it's gonna. It already kind of has.
I know it has.
It's been
mentioned in articles and in national media. Murph talked about it on Saturday, but it shouldn't. But see, that's the thing, is we always go back to what it was, and we can't force ourselves to not talk about the past, no matter if it's music. Music isn't how it's good used to do. Mm-hmm. I fucking hate people who talk about hip hop, and it's like, hip hop is, oh man, I can only listen to Pac and Biggie. Go fuck yourself. Like, here's the thing. I get it that some of the rap is just
horseshit.
It's horseshit. Fine. There are some Migos songs that, yeah, it's not going to compare to Tupac and Biggie. But guess what?
They gonna notice
Tupac and Biggie were the standard, and it was how money was made in the hip-hop industry. Hip-hop industry is totally different than what it was in the 90s. If Tupac and Biggie were still alive, and people hate to hear this, they'd be doing songs with Future. They'd be doing songs with Migos.
Mm-hmm.
They would be doing songs with these artists.
Yeah.
Because guess what? It would make them fucking money. Yeah.
And the guys that don't are like, you know, Talib Kweli or whatever. And they've been around forever, but they're just kind of alternative hip hop artists.
Well, and then people are like, oh, well, J. Cole is different. Dude, J. Cole, man, he's fine.
He's been on some tracks. I mean,
right,
it's not like he's.
Yeah, but he's like, oh, he produces his own beats. He's not really like about the, I don't know. I'm just out on J. Cole in general. I think J. Cole is basically like a more commercialized Talib Kweli. Where it's just, he's just a guy that a lot of Caucasian kids think they're woke by liking him. So that's just kind of my opinion on J. Cole. But anyways, so yes, it's going back to it all is that the good old days is not a thing, and we need to embrace what it was like. And you see this in politics too. Oh, why can't it be 2015 when Obama was president? Guess what? Trump won the fucking election. as much as that pains so many people, it happened. That was literally what happened. And if Hillary was president, maybe some people would be like, I wish Obama still was president. Who knows? You know, people are like, well, what happened to like the Republicans of George Bush? I mean, that's what but I'm basically saying as I'm rambling is you can go down a rabbit hole with legitimately any topic, yeah. Even your life.
Why isn't soda as good as it used to be?
Why isn't Mellow Yellow around more?
It is. You just got to look harder.
Right.
Why isn't Surge around?
I mean, yeah. Surge is a great example. What we just talked about last week, mm-hmm. 2 weeks ago. Man, they should bring Surge back, or they tried to bring Surge back.
Why don't people wear acid wash jeans?
And fashion is one that comes back because people are just like, this has to.
It's all cyclical.
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 It all comes back. So,
like when I was in high school, long hair was the thing.
Right. Yeah. Shaggy head.
And now it's as tight as can be. You want it as tight as can be.
Right. You want to have kind of what Mitch looks like with the hair and the little shave and everything like that. I couldn't pull off that look to save my soul, by the way.
Is that a compliment?
Yeah. I'm not dissing it. I'm just saying I can't pull it off. No way. Not a chance.
You just kind of do it, you know?
I can't. I don't know. I have a girl who loves me and loves my hair for the way it is. I think if I changed it, she'd be like, oh, are you cheating on me? Who are you trying to impress with that haircut?
You're getting a little gray in those sideburns. I don't know if you noticed that or not.
Yeah, I know that, you fuck.
Chuck just flipped me off.
You don't think I know that? You don't think I look in the fucking mirror? My hair's really long.
I kind of like it, though. It's, you know, it's salt and pepper, mate, baby.
It's very Fred, Fred's, or FCM as a good friend with the curly burns. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, it's getting long. I need to cut it. I just haven't. So who knows? Maybe I'll just shave it.
Just buzz your head.
Just buzz it. Fuck it. So anyways, that would be how I would have done it in high school. But no, I just think to put a bow on this, like, you just can't like keep always going back to nostalgia. It's cool to reflect. It's cool too. Nothing's cooler than having a song come on the radio randomly that you just don't expect to hear. And just, that's such a good feeling. Like, coming on Eileen, coming on Jack's speakers, even though their Philly trash was banging on the drums as it was happening. That was still awesome. I hadn't come on Eileen in a while. Great song. Iconic, like, you know, 80s song. So anyways.
I guess that's what I'm saying, Brooksy.
But yeah, so let's move on. I got fired up there a little bit. Usually I don't get that fired
like
up.
That.
I'm going to fire it up through the first segment, but here we are.
Yep.
So the Brewers trade talk is buzzing. Manny Machado did hit himself a home run. That did happen tonight in the Yankees game. He's 22nd of the year. Obviously a lock to be an all-star. The question is will he be a lock to be a Brewer? I think a lot of people are torn on that idea. I think there are some who think Manny Machado would be a great player, and you won't have to give up Huerta. You may have to give up Corbin Burns.
Hira, excuse me.
But that's okay. You can deal with Corbin Burns. Some people are like, no way. I don't want to give it up for a rental. And then there's the whimsical ones who think, well, could we sign him? Is it possible? And I love these beat writers.
Thinking big.
I love these beat writers who've already said to these guys, like, slim to none, man. Fat chance. Like, no way.
Yeah, John Morosi was on the airwaves today, and he had a pretty good one about, and I kind of agreed with him with his take on just the NL's wide open right now.
Absolutely.
And sometimes you got to shoot your shot. You know what I mean? And this might be a chance where the Cubs have some flaws.
Yes.
Starting pitching isn't great all around.
Nope.
Now, do I trust it more than the Brewers? Probably. Hate to say it. I'm not Bob Nightingale.
Right.
So don't accuse me of that.
He's
going to die on Mount Wrigley.
I'm not going to accuse you of Bob Nightingale, but I have some Bob Nightingale thoughts later.
Well,
I'll just let you continue.
Just keep it PC.
At this point, I will. I'll be nice.
So, so the NL's wide open, and I think, you know, God, that lineup looks great if you add Manny Machado to it. And especially now that it has become kind of realistic, what some of the experts are putting out there and what a realistic package could look like. Because at the end of the day, how much can the Orioles expect? And if you're an Orioles fan, you got to be thinking, we got to get something for Manny Machado. We can't just let him walk. Like, he's gone.
Right. The Orioles, I think.
Unless we pay him $300 million.
I think we're Orioles.
That's stupid for where we are.
Orioles fans should be livid the fact that they didn't package Machado and Zach Britton up this winter. Embrace the suck. Know that you're going to suck. And bring back
Well, the Orioles, I mean, the Orioles are just a bad franchise.
They're one of the worst franchises. I mean,
last year they had a golden opportunity to begin.
Yes.
Maybe pull a Doug Melvin in, what, 2015?
Yes.
Where you could trade off a guy or two, get a good package for somebody.
And they were at the doorsteps trading Britton to Houston.
And then they ended up buying.
Yeah.
At the All-Star. I think they got Hellickson or somebody.
Right, exactly. And like ended up buying bizarre.
And they were not even really close to getting a right. I guess the old saying is now that there's five, the wild card game, nobody's really out of it until you're out of it. But it's like,
yeah, if you're not at
when
least
you're,
like,
when you're 10 games away, yeah, you're 10 crazy. Games out of the fifth wild card spot with, you know, 2 months to play. Yeah, your ass is in the jackpot a little bit, but you probably mm-hmm. should be packing it in.
Right, 100%. And so,
and now they're horrible this year, right, with Manny Machado.
Exactly. And so now you've screwed yourself, and now you can only, and
they have no leverage.
And I think because they also have a pretty beat up farm system. It's like what you can hope for is get young, controllable talent mm-hmm. that hopefully is good. And then you could ship them off
yeah.
maybe next year or the year after. So if a deal comes down for Corbin Burnes as the headliner with Keon Broxton and Orlando Arcia, you do that tomorrow.
Yeah.
You don't even think. I think people will be bummed yeah. to get Orlando Arcia leave. But same if Domingos, if it's interchangeable, if Domingo Santana or Brett Phillips. I mean,
if I could find it, I did read Rosenthal. Now I don't subscribe to the Athletic, so you can only see right. the first couple paragraphs.
Right.
But I think he said the Brewers would love to have something packaged around Phillips.
Yes.
And Phillips and Ortiz.
Yeah, okay.
Two guys.
So
maybe you throw in another one.
And that makes sense. I mean,
you do it.
You absolutely.
Like,
I guess even think about it.
Where I was a week ago, or when we did the podcast on Saturday, even, because I was before the Brewers had put in an offer,
right?
Reportedly, I thought, like, you know, here come the Orioles are going to come asking for your one, your two, and your four for a rental. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that I don't know.
No, oh, yeah, it's like you hang up the phone. You yeah. just laugh and you say, nah.
I mean, come on. You say, I thank you for reaching out, but I can't do a one, a two, and a four yeah. for a rental.
Are you calling
I don't care
me
how
about
good
Jake trading us Jake DeGrom, or are you talking yeah. to us about trading right. Manny Machado?
But if the Orioles get realistic and come back and say, well, you know, we want a major league kind of caliber ready in Arcia. He's been in the majors.
Yep.
He's been terrible this year.
Right.
Offensively lost at the plate. Mm-hmm. But that can turn just around as quickly. I mean, he was bad in the first half of last year.
Right.
And then he was just unbelievable in the second half. And you thought, all right, we got something here. And you and I were as big a fans of Orlando Arcia as I think anybody around.
Yeah, we were all bored. We
it's not that I'm out on him.
I would
hate to see him go.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, you do have Mauricio Dubon.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who's not getting traded because he's hurt. And you know you'd have him next year.
And you know he might not be ready to go, and you might have to get a replacement level shortstop
sure.
for
Brad
half
Miller.
The year. Yeah, Brad Miller or Jonathan or transition VR back.
Eric Sogard.
Whatever. No. Do you think there's any concern?
Don't tempt Stearns. He would probably.
If you're gonna bring, if the Orioles are thinking about Arcia, are they worried at all that he may be Alcides Escobar, where he'll just never develop into an actual hitter, decent defender? I mean, because. Seedy's plays every day.
I think Alcides gets you. He's got done like maybe 250 in his career.
Yeah,
right?
he's been okay. He did contribute to those World Series teams.
I do think that they're very similar players.
Yeah, he's not going to be.
Both
he's
wiry,
not going to be Gene Segura.
They're lean. They're not offensive players. They
right.
just aren't.
And I mean, Segura took forever to really hit his stride again. We all knew that player was there, but it took him.
What would be Arcia with good offense? I mean, what would your comp be? I don't even. I can't think of.
I can't.
You know,
body
off the top
type
of my head.
And size. I mean, like really highest like ceiling possible. So this is like.
Okay, I'll take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah. Francisco Lindor.
Okay.
He has a similar build.
They have
a similar, he might be a little taller. Frankie, I guess, is short. But like they have a similar sort of lengthy swing and sort of, you know, what is the word yeah. I'm looking for? Wiry?
Wiry, yeah. small. Yeah.
So I feel like that's like at the high end. I'd have to think about it a little bit more from a shortstop mm-hmm. perspective.
Now let me ask you, so you start there, Phillips and Ortiz.
Mm-hmm.
What would your ideal sweetener be?
Like you're saying,
like Corey Ray, or
oh, if I'm the Orioles,
yeah, or like if you're the Brewers, if you're looking, if you got to sweeten the pot a little bit,
if I have to sweeten the pot, I think I go Arcia because I don't, I mean, you could go Corey Ray, but I would say that if it's you're already giving out an outfielder,
I think
pitcher,
Arcia would make sense for the Orioles,
maybe Lucas Ursig potentially at third base. Ooh, you're high on Ursig.
Kind of. I don't know what he's doing this year, but he's...
I mean, I just think
he's a power-hitting left-handed bat. Yeah. I would never trade a left-handed hitter.
Okay.
If I was GM.
That's interesting.
I would roll out all lefties if I could.
No. Interesting.
Well, what, 90% of pitches are right-handed?
Right. No, I mean, I hear you. I'm trying to think of another name.
I'm exaggerating, but right. A couple years ago when the Brewers had no left, I just could not stand it.
Yeah, I remember. Actually remember that. We would talk about that in the podcast.
We have no left-handed hitters in our starting lineup. We have no left-handed pitchers in our starting rotation. Yeah. How the fuck is that possible?
Oh, absolutely.
For like 2 years.
Yeah. I think you try
when Suter started a game, 2 years ago?
Right.
That was the first time since like 2011.
Yeah, no,
we had a left-handed. It's like, are you fucking serious, Doug Melvin?
Absolutely.
God, are you alive? Are you doing your job?
Exactly.
Get one left-hander for me one time. Now they don't have one either.
You know, another guy that I'd throw in is Brandon Woodruff. Because sure. I don't know if Brandon Woodruff's going to be better than a quad.
They fucked him
yeah,
over.
Yeah, I think the Brewers really did screw him. I think that is
they Thornburged him, and now?
Oh, absolutely. You called that all the way. Trent Grisham, the artist formerly known as Trent Clark.
Trenton Clark, yeah.
Yeah, might be
another. The artist drafted as Trenton Clark.
Might be another guy who you'd...
That happened to me this year. Who the fuck is Trent Grisham?
I actually just didn't know that. I was just scrolling. I was doing
I had to look it up.
Quick scroll.
It was months ago, but
yeah, no, I think there are guys. I think there are guys available that you could say, who knows? Another comment regarding Arcia, not to throw it on the fire, but if you're like, hey, maybe they shouldn't trade a guy, like Gene Carmona is another guy who's deep into the prospect. Like, you got to go deep in the prospect game, but he's a name that has been getting some buzz this year. Papable buzz. They have a ton of outfielders too, so you could give two outfielders away. You know, if you gave up Phillips and Santana, I don't think anyone's, you know, shaking their heads at it.
Right.
I think the one thing about guys like Santana and Phillips is, can you replace those guys and get bench level production? You need to get some Jerry Harrison, Ray Durham types, you know, you need to get guys that are coming off your bench in the postseason that are going to come up with big hits. Yeah. You know, the Rajay Davis types.
What is the Brewers farm system ranked at?
Probably right around the top 10. So, okay. So it's interesting. So then let me also, since we keep going back and forth on questions, which I love. So if the Brewers get Machado, let's just say they do. Where do they go next? Do they go after a starting pitcher? Do they go after another rental of a starting pitcher? They go after an ace who they can control and maybe a throw-in of another rental position player, say?
Well,
because the report is that they're looking at catcher, starting pitcher, second base, and shortstop.
I think you go for Machado and then probably like a mid-level starter.
Okay.
And just hope he kind of gets hot. Maybe a guy with some postseason experience.
Mm-hmm.
A guy you can maybe throw out there in a wild card game, should God forbid it come to that.
Right.
Or a game 7 or something, you know, that you need to win, a must-win game, and kind of ride it out from there. If you can upgrade catcher too, great.
Absolutely. I think I'm with you guys now, because you guys were like, oh, I was just shitting on...
I mean, as much as I would like to get a DeGrom, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you have no farm system.
Yeah, I mean, you basically
but
say...
Maybe, I mean, you don't really need one, then.
Yeah.
But you don't want to empty out the cupboard.
Oh, absolutely not.
I don't think so.
Are there guys where you're like, absolutely not from a pitching perspective? Because I definitely am. Like, Cole Hamels, no way.
Leads the league in homers, right?
Oh, God. I don't think Cole... I mean, he's $20 million. He has a trade clause. Francisco Liriano, get out of my face.
No, no.
Tyson Ross, no way.
I would do J.A. Happ. I think he's good.
J.A. Happ also has gotten roughed up recently. He's had some struggles, but I hear you. I think there are definitely... J.A. Happ is definitely a guy who's going to be... The Yankees apparently are the favorite there for Mr. Happ. So we'll see if J.A. Happ could potentially go there. I'm trying to think of other guys.
Jordan Zimmermann?
Yeah, he's been really good. Stevens Point kid, he's found something. Like,
is that possible that they move him?
He was really...
I'm reading an article. I think it's from the beginning of the season.
I don't know where his contract
is. Yeah, it's from the winter.
What's his contract look like?
Zimmermann, no brainer. Do $74 million over the next 3 years.
Oh, no. Fuck that.
So
absolutely fucking not.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Never mind, I just can't. I
ain't your money.
There's no way. There is no chance I can. All of a sudden,
there's your team control.
I heard that money. No way. Not for him, man. I'd be a little intrigued if the Brewers went after Matt Harvey. I'll say that. I'll just throw it out there.
Could have picked him up.
I know. We've been a Matt Harvey podcast, and I think he...
I don't really know what he's doing.
He's figured his shit out. I mean, his FIP kind of says that this is like all mirage and he's going to crumble at some point. But we'll see. We'll see. You never know. So
tough to pitch in Cincinnati.
Yeah, and my thoughts on that is I still think you want to go after a pitcher.
Danny Salazar, he's hurt though, isn't he?
Yeah. There was the long-standing rumor that Domingo Santana and Danny Salazar were going to be trade partners. So, but anyways, I think that here's basically my final take on this. I think that you do try to go after a pitcher because I'm very concerned that there is no one there to pitch a game one. And there's a couple game two
or
guys.
Or you get Madison Bumgarner, but I think the Giants are in it. Right?
The Giants are in it, so I don't think so. That dream died. But I've forgo that dream. But anyways, yes, I think there's going to be opportunity. I think there'll be names. You never know. There could be a wild name that pops up. I'll put it this way. Would you dump out the farm if Blake Snell became available from the Rays, who's been awesome this year, left-hander? There were some rumors that they might trade him.
God, I don't see that.
I know, but there were like the Rays were going to sell him off.
Well, I mean, you know, the rumors and stuff. I don't want to sound like a player. I'm not going to sound like a player here, but it's like technically everyone's tradable.
Yes.
Do you think the Mets do you think the Mets want to trade DeGrom or Syndergaard? No.
Hell yeah.
I don't think they want to, but if they get a blow away offer and they have, you know, they probably can get one right now. From a team like the Brewers.
I would love the Brewers to just dump it out and just go Machado and Syndergaard and just say, come at us.
Just especially put their dicks on the table.
Especially after what Nightingale wrote about the Cubs. So I will be very delicate. But what Bob Nightingale wrote today, I hope the Brewers pin it up and I hope they just have it there all year.
Pardon because my French, but you're an asshole.
Here's the thing. Like, I get that Bob was writing off of what the Cubs were quoting him, and that the Cubs just sound confident, and they're these cool guys, and they
expect... he's still got to physically go and write the words
exactly
around the quotes.
And he said it just seems like a formality. It seems like a formality that Brewers will not an obstacle that they'll take over the Brewers in first place. Mm-hmm. That is what he said. A formality, not a fucking obstacle. GFY, Bob.
Beat him down!
GFY, buddy. Because seriously, the lack of respect, and I hate to do this too. We could have a whole podcast about lack of respect, just respect in general. But anyways.
But I think that we want to be a little more, we have a little higher expectations out of our team instead of just crying about how we get no respect.
Yeah, you're right. Fuck that. I don't care about respect. But what I look forward to, And this happened last year, and I wasn't able to shove it in Bob's fucking fat face on Twitter. I wasn't able to contain myself, sorry. But I favored a tweet from him about something dumb, and I wasn't able to use it, and it disappointed me. Had to unlike it and just felt like crying. He's like my next on my list to get blocked. Did I tell you I blocked by Cato Kalen?
You did?
Yes.
Nice.
You did it. Awesome. I did it. Congrats. You did it. I'm so excited.
Play to win the game.
I've been looking for it. I've been looking for it. I've been talking enough shit about him, and I finally got blocked.
Hello?
There is no greater achievement than that.
You play to win the game.
Now we just got to get Jimmy. We got to figure out why Jimmy Nelson blocks us. Like, we just got to figure it out. Like, I
don't think I'm blocked by anybody.
Yeah, what? You get surprised. I've blocked by... A Viking, SB Nation's Vikings blog. I'm blocked by.
Don't really talk shit about people on Twitter.
I'm blocked by a New York Times reporter. I'm blocked by Marcus Cromartie. I'm blocked, former Badger. I'm blocked now by Jimmy Nelson, Cato Kalen. That is currently a block list.
That's your resume?
That's my block list I know about. I'm sure there are others who have blocked me before or definitely muted me. Not that I tweet too much. Anyways, moving on to where are we on time?
About 35.
All right,
34,
cool.
35.
Great. Fantastic. All right. Jesus, we're just rolling along. But speaking of Jesus, this man is a Mormon, and while he's not on a mission right now, no one really knows what's happening with Jabari Parker.
He could go do a mission for a year.
That would be the best. That would be like,
dude. I thought of that.
You want to talk about the most Bucks thing ever? would be Jabari Parker.
I never
going
even thought
on
about
mission.
That. But I did think, I was just a little bit before I left tonight, I was thinking, okay, if Jabari takes the qualifying offer, what are the odds that A, he doesn't report?
Oh, man.
B, he's like, I'll sit out the year and just get paid on my. It'll never happen. He has to play to get paid.
Yeah.
But maybe. I mean, a lot of teams are going to have money next summer. We keep hearing about it. The market. You know, Jabari was dealt a rough hand, obviously, two ACL injuries, and now he's, you know, sort of learning the bad side of the business side of the NBA, where there just isn't enough money to go around, and kind of his attitude, down the stretch, in the postseason sometimes, where things weren't going his way, he kind of pouted a little bit, stuff like that. He had good moments, too.
Yep.
I don't think he's a malcontent, but, you know, he's definitely finding out that there's not quite a market.
You excited for Chucky conspiracy?
Sure, bring it.
So I said I'm going to redact a little bit of what I said on Daily Tap, I believe Monday, about kind of where I thought Jabari Parker had two offers on the table. I still think he has two offers on the table. I think one is the qualifying offer. I think Jabari wants to bet on himself. I think his agent is telling him not to. I think that's where the stalemate is. Now, granted, if we know anything about this podcast, Jabari will sign this evening as we're taping Tuesday night, and it'll be all said and done, and this will be completely for naught. There's a reason we're talking about this at 35, but we're talking about a lot of situations. It's very much a choose-your-own-adventure. I think Jabari wants to bet on himself. I think Jabari's the type of guy who's telling his agent, Burleson, saying, hey, look, I want to bet on myself and try to get this money in 2019.
Yep.
And
but he blows it out again. He's fucked.
And that's what Burleson's telling him. He's telling him, you hurt yourself one more time, you are done. Mm-hmm. No one is going to pay you
then
any money.
Then you are Brandon Roy and you're back in Chicago coaching high schoolers.
Absolutely.
In 5 years.
And the other part of this is where I get conspiracy. Because I thought for a while, I'm like, oh, they probably had the Axum deal. But what was brought up to a good point by one of you was, well, Dante Axum showed something. I think, in fact, he has that money, but it's a Julius Randle contract. It's like a 2-year deal worth like $18 million or $20 million. So Jabari's like, fuck this. I don't want to take a 2-year deal. I just want the 1-year deal. Because the 2-year deal would give the Bucks the ultimate flexibility. Because if Budenholzer's like, this guy doesn't work for us, just trade him. Because he becomes a decent trade asset with a year and a half left on his contract. And a very cheap contract at that you could probably package with another one of your bad contracts for the Bucks if another guy doesn't fit in.
On the qualifying?
I'm saying if he takes like a 2-year, $20 million.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, if he takes the qualifying, then he becomes a free agent next year. And you can make...
Can you trade him on the qualifying offer?
I believe you have to wait till December 15th.
Okay.
Or January. It's one of the two. You guys could correct me for those who know this shit a little more than I do.
Yep.
But... Fact is that I think that's where they're going. I think that is where it's going because Jabari's people want 3 years because they want that Axum protection. They want that third year in case he wrecks it and in case he's just completely lost and it's not going to work.
Yeah.
So I think that's where it's at. How do you evaluate
And who do you think who's giving him that offer?
No, I think it's I think they want the Bucks to pony up for a third year. I think they want him to do 3 years 27, 3 years 30, or 3 years 33. Probably 3 years 33, and they're hoping, hey, maybe the Bucks will come down and pay us three for 27.
I don't know if I can do it at this point.
Right.
And I told you in the car on the way here. I don't know if the Bucks want him.
No, I think there's some legitimate conversations being had with everybody.
It sucks, but I don't know. You see the Ersan move? And even Brook Lopez to some extent.
Yeah.
They're just aren't going to be that many front court minutes, probably.
Right.
Not that Brook Lopez probably won't play more than 20 minutes a game.
Yeah, there's people are projecting him for like 26, 28.
Now that's a good contract.
Oh, God. The Brook Lopez thing was so weird. The fact that they actually did something that they were supposed to do, I think a lot of the John Horst haters settled down. You know, not you, but.
Dude, Horst hasn't done bad.
No, I know.
I don't know where this comes from.
This is Bucks Twitter.
I know.
Bucks Twitter is just a cesspool of shit.
It is.
Like, that's all that Bucks Twitter is. It's just bitching all the time. We might just have to have a segment instead of, like we do with the Packer Pinhead Report this Bucks season.
Well, like the Bucks Twitter minute or something?
Bitching with the Bucks. What is Bucks Twitter mad about this week?
Yeah.
And it's just some old ladies cawing at each other.
Yeah.
Like, you don't even know what it means. You know, the Geico commercial?
Yeah.
We'll talk about that. We'll workshop that. Well, bitching with the Bucks is good.
It's a very sensitive fan base right now.
Oh, God. And we'd probably get Bucks Twitter to be like, oh, yeah, we're making fun of women.
But we've strung together a couple not bad decisions here.
Yeah, not bad.
Got a good coach. Yeah. Got a real coach, I'll say that. An actual real-life NBA head coach.
Yeah, that's what he looks like somewhat, in the flesh.
Somewhat proven. A guy who's not annoying to listen to.
Yes.
A guy who seems to provide some insight.
Yeah.
A guy who runs an offense that might look something like a modern NBA offense.
I feel like Marcus Johnson likes Bucks U almost more than Budenholzer. He talks about it on Twitter.
Well,
I don't blame him.
We all love Marcus Johnson.
I think Marcus has been waiting for it. I think Marcus wants to be part of
Darvin Ham apparently was wearing a Brewer hat at Summer League.
Yeah.
Just endearing himself to the fan base even more than
apparently
he didn't even have to.
Darvin Ham's probably the coach in waiting, to be honest.
Hopefully in 20 years.
Yeah, maybe. But in like 3 or 4 years, maybe. I don't know. How old's Budenholzer? Is he like 57?
No, I don't think he's. I think he's 47, probably.
Oh, fuck me, right? So anyways,
he might be like 50.
No, you're right though. And just as you kept on hammering it home is like the Bucks keep doing smart things. Yeah. The Ersan thing was an overreaction. I think the Bucks.
And yeah, Brooke
out.
Lopez will break his foot in October and then we're going to look like an idiot.
Right. But still a 1 year, $2 million.
That'll fucking piss me off. Cause that's going to happen.
No, it isn't. Shut up. See, this is why Bucks Twitter sucks.
We just can't have nice things, Charlie. We can't.
I know.
Got a brand new arena. And fucking, we're not going to have Jabari Parker.
I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen.
You get Ersan instead.
I don't know what Ersan as a starter for the Bucks New Arena. That would be some shit.
It'll be Brooke Lopez. It's got to be.
No, it will be Brooke Lopez.
Did you see John Henson said that like it was a position we needed to shore up? like on record.
Yeah, I know. To Matt Velasquez. Yeah. John was probably so fucking high in Vegas, though. Let's just be real. Like, how much drugs do you think or alcohol? Like, John was probably a little under the influence at that point. You know, and it's just I don't care.
I think
fuck.
It was a good move for us. We needed to show that position up. Well, John, you play that position.
That's John, so you know you play that position.
He's 48.
Yeah, we got to shore it up.
Bud's 48.
Oh, okay. He looks a little
older. Young pup.
Looks a little older.
Yeah. That's like the scene in Major League when he goes when there he's at his ex-wife's or ex-fiance's house, her parents' house or whatever it is. And the old lady's like, he's like, I play baseball for a living. She's like, oh. I hear baseball players make very handsome salaries. And he's like, I make the league minimum. Basically saying, well, I suck, you know? Exactly. Kind of that's what it makes me think of.
Yeah, that's a good call. Like, yeah, Johnny, I don't know what goes through John Henson's mind. I should just find a club that John's at one day and just sit down with him. And I'd probably get kicked out soon, but I'd be like, so I just want to pick your brain on what goes through your fucking head on a regular basis. Can you let me know that? If you guys...
He's the ultimate team player. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
That's the thing about John, though, is like, I don't think he could care. He could care less if he's starting game 7 of the NBA Finals or fucking collecting checks, waving towels at the end of the bench.
Against Sacramento he's fine on a Sunday night. Any
role.
Exactly. He will be there for you.
He's versatile in any role.
So if you're listening to this podcast before...
Sterling Brown, 27 points, by the way, in a summer league game.
Oh, I listen,
free
man.
Sterling Brown.
Listen. The Daily Tap on Tuesday, if you listen to that, we are all on the Sterling Brown bandwagon. So that is definitely happening. But if you're listening to this podcast,
and fuck Joe Prunty for
as I'm trying to talk for you do this all the time. I try to wrap us up and you're just caught.
Go ahead.
And no. Anything more?
No, I said and fuck Joe Prunty for not playing Sterling Brown. We probably still be playing right now.
Yes, fuck Joe Prunty and fuck
fuck Joe Brown.
Yeah, we're Judge Judy guys. Yeah. Damn right. Anyways. If you guys are listening to this podcast before 2 p.m., make sure you're voting for Jesus Aguilar.
Jesus.
Yes, Jesus again. For those who may have not heard it the first time, hear it the second time. All right, we'll be back next week on the worst week of sports. I don't know when Mitch and I will be back, but we will find topics to talk about, because that's what Mitch and I do.
We might have Manny Machado.
We may have Manny Machado. We may have him on the Dodgers, and it'll all be a disappointment.
Machado watch.
Machado watch. We are doing it. So for Mitch, I'm Charlie. We'll talk to you guys later. See ya.
Peace.